4. Brewster and Maddie crept across the living room toward their motionless parents. Maddie said,
"Mom? Dad?"
Brewster stepped out from behind his sister and approached Martin and Gwen, head cocked to the side. Martin stood, feet spread, knees bent, mouth wide open, as if he'd been photographed shouting at someone. Both of his hands reached forward as if gesturing toward something in the dining room. Beside him, Gwen's lips curled upward into a snarl. She stood sideways, pointing toward the same general area as Martin. Neither of them moved so much as an eyelid as their children approached. Brewster said,
"This isn't funny, Dad. Mom, come on."
Maddie shouted,
"Philip, you still here? Philip?"
Brewster waved his hands in front of Gwen's face, looking for any motion. Seeing none, he snapped his fingers twice, right next to her left ear. Maddie walked quickly into the kitchen, then ran upstairs, while Brewster waved and poked at their parents. Maddie ran back down the stairs and panted,
"He's not here. I even looked under the beds."
She ran to the back door and rattled it.
"What the hell, man? Maddie, they're frozen,"
Brewster said.
"Completely still."
Maddie ran past on her way to the front door.
"No way. They're messing with us."
"I touched Dad's eyeball, and he didn't flinch. Here, look."
He pressed the tip of his index finger to Martin's left eyeball, repeatedly, as if pressing a button in the back of a limousine to see what it did. Martin didn't move.
"See? Nothing."
Maddie turned the front doorknob and rattled the door in its frame.
"Philip's gone, and both of the doors are locked. I mean, like with the deadbolts. Unless he has a key, he didn't go out through the doors."
"Are you sure?"
"Check for yourself."
Maddie snapped her fingers at Gwen and poked Martin in the eye, while Brewster ran around the house, checking both doors and looking in all of the closets and under all of the beds, each essentially checking the other's work. Brewster returned, panting.
"Nothing. I checked all the places I'd hide. Philip's not here. What are you doing?"
Maddie stood beside and slightly behind Martin, her face scrunched in concentration as she knocked with great force and precision on the inside of her father's left elbow.
"Punching him in the funny bone. Still nothing."
"Have you tried, Mom?"
"What? No, I wouldn't do this to Mom. Did you touch her eyeball?"
"God, no!"
Brewster looked at their parents.
"What is this?
I've never heard of anything like it."
"Coma?"
"Ah, they'd have fallen down."
"Seizure?"
"They'd be moving. I think that's kind of the whole deal with seizures."
"Locked-in syndrome? Stroke? Sleep paralysis?"
Brewster shook his head.
"No, all of those would make them either move or fall down."
"Then it must be something Philip did to them. That doesn't make much sense either, though. Why would Philip hurt Mom and Dad? He's supposed to be their friend."
"Can you think of a situation where any of this would make sense? We don't even understand what he did. I've never heard of anything that'll just turn people into statues like this. Maddie, what are we gonna do?"
Maddie walked over beside her brother.
"Mom always said, if we're in really bad trouble, we should break our necklaces."
"Yeah, if we're in trouble, we aren't. Our parents are. Mom never really told us what would actually happen if we broke the necklaces, did she?"
Maddie pulled out her phone.
"Only that she'd punish us if we broke them without good reason, and she always looked at me when she said it. Maybe we should just call Aunt Britt, or the police. We could call the police."
Brewster thought for a moment, staring at their parents.
"What would we tell them? Dad's best friend appeared out of nowhere dressed like Dumbledore, froze them while we were in another room, and disappeared? That's not a great story. And even if they don't arrest us, they'll take us into custody. Which, from what I've seen on TV, looks pretty much like being arrested, except instead of being put in a cell, you just hang around with a cop all day."
"Yeah. Okay," Maddie said. "We call Aunt Britt. We don't want to involve the police. You agree?"
"Yeah."
Both Maddie and Brewster jumped when the doorbell rang. They clutched at each other, looked at their frozen parents, then each other, then the door. The doorbell rang again. Maddie carefully tiptoed toward the door while Brewster started drawing the curtains on any window that might provide a view of Gwen and Martin. As Maddie peered through the peephole, the doorbell rang a third time. Brewster whispered to Maddie,
"Who is it?"
Maddie whispered back.
I think it's the police.
A stern male voice on the far side of the door said,
We can hear you talking. We know you're home.
Maddie shouted,
Who is it?
A second man said,
Federal agents, please open the door.
Maddie and Brewster opened the door just enough for both of them to look out through the gap, Maddie stooping a bit and Brewster up on the tips of his toes to look over her head. Three men were on the doorstep. Two stood in front, wearing dark-colored suits and striped ties. One was husky but solid and smiled kindly at the kids. The other was thinner and more weathered. He appeared unhappy, but not at the kids so much as the world the kids were a part of. Behind them, an older man in a black turtleneck and khaki pants stood, looking concerned. The friendlier of the two men in front said,
Hello, my name is Murphy. This is my partner, Miller. We're federal agents.
The two men in suits produced badges and ID cards and held them up close to the barely open door. The twins looked at the identification with the serious air of two people who were just realizing that they wouldn't know a fake ID or a counterfeit badge if they saw one. The cheerful agent jerked a thumb back at the man in the turtleneck.
This gentleman is James Sadler, our civilian consultant.
Sadler smiled.
You two can call me Jimmy.
The twins peered at him, saying nothing. Jimmy glanced down at his pockets, as if mentally inventorying their contents, then held up his hands at a loss.
I don't have anything I can show you that'll prove I'm a civilian.
Maddie said,
I'm sorry, our parents aren't available right now.
That's fine. We aren't here for them. I take it you're Matheson Banks and Brewster Banks.
Brewster and Maddie looked at each other, then in unison said,
Yeah.
Agent Murphy said,
Good. We're here for you.
You want to talk to us? Brewster asked. Agent Miller chuckled under his breath. Mr. Sadler glared at him. Agent Murphy smiled.
Yes, we'll talk. But our orders are to take the two of you into protective custody, so you'll be hanging around with us for the rest of the day.
Maddie and Brewster sat beside each other in the back seat of a massive silver SUV. Brewster sat by the door, behind the driver's seat. Maddie perched on the slight hump in the middle. Sadler, the civilian consultant, sat behind the front passenger seat, looking over at the children, trying a little too hard to seem friendly and harmless. Agent Murphy, who was riding shotgun, was turned sideways, smiling back at the twins. Agent Miller drove, reducing his presence to a back of a head covered with pewter gray hair and a pair of steely eyes that glanced at the kids in the rearview mirror at regular intervals. Agent Murphy asked,
You kids comfortable?
Both Brewster and Maddie nodded yes.
Good. It's a big back seat. This truck had plenty of room for passengers, I'll say that for it.
Miller grunted.
Too much room. It's like driving a small building.
Sadler smiled.
You'll have to excuse Agent Miller. We have a very nice car of our own, but we had to leave it behind and fly here to get to you in time.
In time for what?
Maddie asked.
We don't know. We were ordered to pick you up at a specific place and time, and to keep you safe and comfortable while we bring you in.
Who ordered you to do that?
Brewster asked.
The director of our task force. Our boss.
Why?
We can't say.
Why not?
Because she didn't.
Did you ask?
Miller and Murphy both laughed. Sadler said,
No, we didn't. We trust our boss. We trust her to have a good reason. And we trust her to take it badly if we respond to one of her orders by asking, Why?
Agent Miller muttered,
It's a shame we can't trust her to give us a reasonable amount of notice.
Agent Murphy said,
We made it there in time. In fact, we were a little early, so we had enough notice, Miller.
Sadler continued,
Anyway, we upgraded from the base rental car because why wouldn't we? And our only two choices were this and a Mustang convertible that would have been completely unsuitable.
Too small?
Brewster asked.
No. If we had to arrest someone, the ragtop would have made it easy to escape. Oh, hey, that reminds me, the agents here know your father. Isn't that right, guys?
Murphy frowned at Sadler. Miller made a noise that was a weird mix of a groan and a growl. Sadler laughed.
They never met your mother, though. I know both of your parents. We go way back. Wonderful people.
Maddie said, they never mentioned you.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's all pretty complicated.
Brewster and Maddie glanced at each other, each trying not to let on how scared they were in an effort to comfort their sibling, and in the process, freaking each other out even more. Maddie asked,
shouldn't you have gotten our parents' permission before you took us prisoner?
You're not a prisoner, Miss Banks, Sadler said. You're just in protective custody, and we were instructed that we had all the legal authorization we needed. Besides, you told us your parents weren't available, and you came with us willingly. You didn't put up any argument at all.
Miller shook his head.
Although, you might have invited us into the house instead of making a stand on the stoop while you got your toothbrushes. It was like we had delivered a pizza and you were scrounging for tip money.
Maddie said,
well, give me my phone back. I want to make a call. You know, just to let people know where we are.
I'm afraid I can't do that. I have to hold on to your phones, and nobody makes any calls, not even us. Our orders are to bring you straight to the director and to go radio silent until we do, for security reasons.
Brewster asked,
don't we have a legal right to a phone call?
Sadler smiled.
That's for people who've been arrested, Brewster. You aren't under arrest. You're in protective custody.
So we can leave?
Maddie asked.
No, it's not safe.
And we can't call anyone?
Brewster said.
Sadler said, you can call anybody you want, as many times as you want, when we get to HQ. Until then, for safety's sake, we have to keep a low profile. And that means no calls.
Brewster and Maddie looked at each other, again, trying to disguise their concern.
But hey, Sadler continued, in the meantime, you're gonna get to ride in a private jet. Won't that be fun?
The twins looked at each other. Maddie smiled, and Brewster dropped all pretense at not being alarmed. Maddie reached into her collar, pulling out her wizard hat necklace, while staring at Brewster and nodding. Brewster said,
Maddie?
Before he could talk her out of it, Maddie snapped the wizard hat in half, right between the star and the moon, as their mother had instructed them many times. As the plastic triangle broke, Maddie vanished. In the 5 seconds of chaos that followed, Brewster shouted most of the curse words he knew. Agent Miller taught him several more. Agent Murphy drew his pistol and frantically searched the area around the still-moving car for possible attackers. And Sadler lunged to grab Brewster.
Don't worry, Sadler shouted. We've got you. You're not going anywhere.
Brewster pulled out his necklace, snapped it in half, and disappeared.